And wow, Jesus, we just honor you in this place. We love you so much. We say, come and continue to do what you want to do here this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Spirit of truth, Spirit of the living God, the helper, the one who comes alongside of us to help us. Jesus, you said that when you go to heaven, you will send the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be in us, and that we will know him. The world won't know him because it neither sees him or understands him, but we will know him because he will be with us and he'll be in us. It's the Spirit of the living God. God doesn't hide behind some cloud. He's not distant and far. He is so close. He created us to have a relationship with him, to know him, and to be close to him. Religion wants to drive us far away from God, but grace draws us near. Through what Jesus did for us, he draws us near. He's the only way to the Father. And so, Father, we come this morning with boldness into your presence to enjoy you, to delight in you, to hear from you, to encounter you, to know you deeper. Thank you, God. Lord, you see hungry hearts here this morning. You see open hearts here this morning. And I pray you'd bless every single person that is in this place. Let heaven touch us. Let heaven surround us. Let heaven consume us. Let heaven break into our lives here this morning. Lord, we give you permission. We say, break into our lives. We want to know you more. We want to encounter you deeper. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I'm just enjoying being with you guys, with the tribe. It really does feel like you are my tribe. I'm a part of this tribe. And it's amazing. You can go to different places in the world and just meet people that are just your people. We just get each other. We resonate with the same things, the same passion, the same heart for Jesus, the same vision to see his kingdom coming into this world. And we love the grace of God. We love the presence of God. And I just instantly feel like a part of the family. So it's been wonderful getting to meet many of you people. And it's been amazing staying with, hanging out with Stewie and Jen. And their kids are just incredible. And God has just connected us. There's like a deep heart connection. Just a divine connection from God. I'm not just a guest speaker today. I'm not interested in just coming to bless. I'm interested in building relationship, walking together as partners in the gospel, and partnering together to see heaven coming to earth through our lives so that we can see earth coming to heaven, people coming to Jesus, knowing him and populating heaven. Amen. We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. So yeah, we had fun yesterday at the rhino and the lion. My name in Chinese, because I lived in Hong Kong for 12 years, my name over there, because my name's Ryan, but my name in Chinese is Lion. Lion. And it actually means bad guy. Yeah. And in mainland China, my father, he's Robert, and they call him Lobo. It means turnip. And they call me Little Turnip in China for some reason. So the first kind of encounter I had with Stewie, was in 2014, my dad's 60th birthday. And so there was people from all over the world, different friends and ministers. And we were celebrating my father's 60th birthday, had this amazing evening. And probably 150 people in the room and from all over the nations. And different people were getting up on stage and just honoring my father and doing a little skit or a little play or some kind of presentation. And Stewie just went all out, had some wild presentation. And somehow he had managed to acquire a pair of my father's underpants. Somehow, my mum, she was an accomplice in this, and it was a clean pair of underpants, and thank you, Jesus. My first encounter with Stewie, he was walking around on stage with my father's underpants on his head, saying he believes that if he wears my father's underpants, he's going to get special revelation from God. He's going to get a special anointing from my father. I was like, who is this guy? I have to get to know him. It's awesome, eh? It's nice to be relaxed in church. It's nice to have fun in church. I honestly believe church should be the happiest place on the planet. Amen. I really believe God is the one who invented joy. He invented laughter. And I do believe God wants us to be happy. I believe that the Bible says the enemy is the thief. And the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to bring death into our life and over churches. He wants to destroy our joy and our peace and our happiness. And he wants to convince us that it's very religious to be sad in church. It's like, how did the devil get that one right in the church? How did we let him pull that one over our eyes? You know, and people think if you laugh in church, then, ooh, that's irreverent. No, I think it brings God incredible glory when he sees his children being happy and full of joy and full of life and just expressing it. Amen? So you're allowed to laugh and be happy here this morning. And so I want to just talk to you about the grace of God today. The wonderful grace of God. I love the grace of God. And there's a few people that maybe preach a strange version of it, but that's not us. We preach the Bible. We love the Bible. We love the Word of God. And the best thing about grace, the best thing about grace is that it enables us to draw near to God. That is the best thing about grace. It enables us to draw near to God because it removes every obstacle, every barrier. It removes the sin that was in our life where we had fallen short, where we had sinned against Almighty God, where we had fallen short of His glorious standard. Grace of God, what God did through Jesus Christ, dealt with all of our sin, with all of our shortcomings, with all of our inabilities. He removed all of those things and gave us perfect peace between us and God. He removed every obstacle, every barrier that was standing between us and God so that we could come with boldness and draw near to the presence of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. And so we don't come to God through our strength, through our sinlessness, through our sacrifice, through our blood. We come to God through the blood of Jesus. We come to God through the sacrifice of Christ. All that He did for us is what qualifies us to be worthy to draw near to God. And this is a glorious, amazing arrangement. This is the way God wanted it. He set it up like this because He wants His children to live close to Him. Amen. God actually loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life isn't just something in the future. Yes, it is that. We're living, going to be with God forever and ever and ever. But eternal life is also a quality of life now. It's heaven on earth now. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus is life. And so when we know Him, we have life. We know life. He came to give life and life to the full. We're not supposed to just drag our sorry butts through this life. Amen. Scraping our way to God and just living with this fear that God is angry with us. He's upset with us. We've done something to upset Him. And He's just waiting in heaven with a lightning bolt, just bah, just ready to just strike. A lot of people live with that kind of fear. This morning, I just felt in my spirit God saying, I'm going to break fear of people here this morning. You're going to get a revelation of the goodness of God, of the grace of God. And religion and lies and fear is going to break off you this morning. And freedom and joy is going to come. And boldness is going to come. Because the Bible says we have boldness to draw near to His throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. And we come not through our blood and our sacrifice, but through the blood of Jesus. And it says we can draw near with boldness. Amen? A lot of Christians, they go, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I've sinned this week. I can't lift my hands in worship at church. God is not happy. God doesn't want that. God is not pleased with that. He's not happy with that. That grieves Him. That grieves God. God wants us to see the cross. He wants us to see Jesus, what Jesus has done. And see how perfect we become in Christ, how qualified we become, how radiant, how spotless, how sinless and blameless we become in Christ. And to look up and see Jesus and to draw near with boldness. Amen? Because religion is a lie. Jesus didn't come to bring religion and rules and regulations and commandments and principles and all these impossible things that we can never fulfill. We fall short and feel guilty. Jesus didn't come to bring rules. He came to bring a relationship. He came to bring righteousness, His righteousness, so that we could come into relationship with God. God is not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our humility. He's looking for our faith. Our faith in Jesus, not our faith in ourselves. Amen? And see, religion wants to drive us further from God. We're trying to earn God's love. We're trying to earn His favor. We're trying to earn His blessing. We're trying to do things that are going to cause, avoid His punishment. And it's all just works. And it's all me focus and my flesh. And it's all about me and what I do and my performance and my works in order to qualify myself to draw near to God. I got news. Bible says there's no one righteous, not even one. All of our best efforts to try to draw near to God is like filthy rags, the Bible says. Religion and laws and wants to get our focus on ourself. And when you focus on yourself, you become aware of how far and badly you've fallen. Amen? Yeah. And how disqualified. And when you do that, it just brings guilt and condemnation and shame and sin consciousness. You never feel worthy and you always want to count yourself out. And religion drives us further from God. And when you live far from God, it's just easier to sin. It's just easier to give into stuff. It's easier to get distracted. Amen? But grace. See, law is a flesh covenant. Law is a flesh covenant. It gets us to focus on our flesh and our performance. But grace is a spirit covenant. Gets us to focus on Him, on God, on the Spirit, and what He's done for us. Not about what we have to do, but what He did for us. Jesus was perfect for us. Jesus qualified perfectly for us. He fulfilled the law perfectly for us. And He took the sin of the world perfectly on Himself. God poured out that wrath on Jesus so that He didn't have to pour it out on us. Amen? And if He's poured it out on Jesus, it means He's not going to pour it out on us. Jesus already paid the price for our sin. It means that you're not going to pay the price for your sin. So good. Religion wants to get us all sin conscious. Grace gets us Christ conscious. Gets our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus. And I tell you, it enables us to draw near to God. To come near to God and live in His presence and live in relationship with Him and walk with Jesus and to know the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, when you live in the presence of God, when you have a relationship with God, it's very hard. It's very hard to just sin. Amen? It's like when you get in His presence, it's like sin comes and knocks on your door. You're like, what? Why? Why? Why would I want that? Why would I want that? I've got this. I've got God. And you know what? You might sin and stumble and fall, as we sometimes do. Okay? See, because I know a secret about all of you. Sometimes you sin. Okay? Sometimes you say stupid things, you think stupid things, you do stupid things. And here's a little secret about me. Sometimes I sin. Okay, I know it's hard to believe. I've only met one sinless one on this planet. It's my wife. But sometimes we sin. Okay, the wonderful thing about grace is that when you fall, you fall forward. You fall forward into the loving arms of God. You fall forward into grace. And then He picks you back up and you just keep walking with Him. Amen? When you live under the law and under religion, you fall and you fall backwards and you stumble down the hill. And you feel like you're starting again. Amen. Law, legalism, religion is like a descending escalator. And you're just running up it. Oh, I just got to try hard. I just got works, works. You're running up and it's all this effort, self-effort. So I got to get to God. I got to try, you know, be holy, be holy. I got to give more. I got to evangelize more. I got to make sure I go to church. I got to tithe. I got to do all these things for God. I have to do it. It just works. Really, we don't do those things to try to earn our way to God. We already have perfect relationship with God. And so the things that we do out of relationship with God. We're not trying to get something we already have. We're just living in what we do have. And that's why we serve Him. We love other people. We reach out to other people. And so on this descending escalator under religion, you're trying, and then you stumble and you fall, you mess up, you say something stupid, you do something stupid, you think something stupid, you fall, and you're going down, just down, down, oh, further away from God. Oh my goodness, oh God. Grace, grace is an ascending escalator. It's going up, and you're just on this escalator, you're just like, no works, just rest. Oh, I'm just going. Oh, just in the presence of God, just closer to God, just enjoying His presence, just on this ascending escalator. And guess what? You're on the ascending escalator, and you trip and you fall. I'm such an idiot. I'm such a fool. I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? Oh, God's so amazing. But I'm a bit of an idiot. And then you look up, and you're like further up into His presence. You just ascended. It's like, what happened? What is this? I'll tell you what it is. It's grace. It's awesome. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Oh, careful, Ryan. Careful, Ryan. Because if you preach this message, people just run out and want to sin. They'll just abuse grace and turn it into a license to sin. Careful, Ryan. Grace is dangerous. I'll say yes, grace is dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's dangerous to religion. It's dangerous to the enemy. It's dangerous to performance and religious living because it'll smash you out of it, smash you into the spirit, cause you to walk in the spirit and get victory. I tell you, when you walk in the spirit, you get victory and dominion. You begin to live in the kingdom of God. Grace is dangerous. Driving on the road is dangerous as well, you know? We don't just stop driving on the road because it's dangerous. We don't just stop preaching grace because it's dangerous. Well, what's the other option? We just go back to the law? Religion? No. There's only one message. There's only one gospel. Jesus did it all. He did it for us. He qualified us. Amen? And so the grace of God, what is the grace of God? I want to share with you three things about the grace of God. Grace is many things, but I want to share three things this morning. The grace of God is firstly total forgiveness. It's total forgiveness. Grace of God is total forgiveness of all of your sins, past, present, and future. And there was silence in the church. Grace of God is total forgiveness of all of our sins, past, present, and future. All of your future sins were included in Christ when He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen. People say, how can you say that your future sins have been forgiven? You mean even the sins I haven't committed yet, they've already been forgiven? Yes. Doesn't that mean Christians are just going to run out and sin? Well, I don't know about you, but it doesn't make me want to just run out and sin. Maybe you want to just run out and sin. I don't want to just run out and sin because I've been born again. He's changed my heart. He's changed my life. He's changed my nature. I have God's nature in me. I'm not afraid of sinning. I'm not afraid of just running out and, you know, what? The devil's just going to take me over and just make me go run out. No, I'm a child of God, born of God. Amen. Now, I might mess around, like fall sometimes, but I get straight back up. And there is grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God there's a safety net. It's called grace. And when you're tempting the adventures of God and sometimes you fall, you land on the safety net. Praise God for the safety net. But I tell you, I don't want to just live on the safety net. Ah, praise God for grace. I can just live however I want. Just sin, sin, sin. It's great. No, grace doesn't just make us do that. I want to live in taking my inheritance grace. Taking my inheritance. I want to, everything that's available for me in this life to do, I want to walk and step into that. True born again believers are not looking for a way to get away with sin. We're looking for a way to get sin away from us. I don't want to be distracted by sin. Sin wants to destroy my life, wants to distract me. I don't want to just go and be a slave to that garbage. Amen. I was born to be free. Everything Jesus did on the cross was enough to set me free. There is power in the cross. There is victory in the cross. Because at the cross, we died. Our old life died. God raised us up into new life in Jesus Christ, into newness of life. And see, many believers, we've bought into the lie that we're so weak. I'm so weak. My flesh is so weak. Sin is so strong and my flesh is so weak. And I'm so pathetic. I'm just this little pauper, this little beggar, this pathetic little runt. People believe that. You know what that is? That's religion. Religion is designed to smash us down. Show us how unworthy we are. So that the law is designed to smash us down and show us how unworthy we are so that we'd realize we cannot do it in ourselves and call out for a savior. Once the law has done its job, we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. We're in faith. We've bought into this lie that our flesh is so strong, so powerful over, you know. I'll tell you, that's a lie. Your reborn spirit is strong. Your reborn spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit in you is powerful. The Word of God in you is powerful. You are powerful. You are victorious. You're not a slave. Amen? So we're not looking for a way to sin. We're looking for a way to get sin away from us. Amen? But you got to see the woman who was caught in adultery, and then she came and she poured out. She wept at Jesus' feet, wet his feet, dried them with her hair. Amen? Was kissing his feet, poured out the alabaster, 1 year of perfume over Jesus' feet. Jesus said, "He who is forgiven much loves much. He who is forgiven much loves much." Those who have a revelation of the forgiveness of God, of the total forgiveness of God, it doesn't lead you to want to sin. It leads you to love much. It leads you to want to actually pour out your life to Jesus. Makes you want to fall at his feet and pour out your life as an offering to him and to live for him. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, because they were criticizing her, he said, "Those that are forgiven little, love little." In other words, those that don't have a revelation, you've been forgiven. They didn't believe they needed forgiveness because they were self-righteous. They were relying on themselves and their works. "I don't need to be forgiven. I'm keeping the law. I'm being good." Jesus said, "No. If you don't believe you've been forgiven much, you'll love little." Amen? Just love little. But those who understand the fullness of his forgiveness, love him much. Amen? And the woman that was caught in adultery, thrown, I believe it was the same woman, thrown at his feet. They made a big mistake to throw her at the feet of Jesus. I believe she wept at his feet for the first time. And Jesus, he drew on the ground. And the Pharisees, the religious people, "We've got to be tough on sin. Come on, we've got to be tough on sin. Got to be holy, got to be holy, got to live holy, got to be tough on sin." Watch out for people that say, "You've got to be tough on sin." Scratch around in their life, you'll find all kinds of ho-hos and bugs and nasty things. Because religious people love sinning. They do. They do. They love sinning. They secretly love sinning. They try to pretend like they're so holy. "I'm so holy. I'm holier than you. So much more holier than you. You little sinner. I'm holy." Jesus goes, "You know what? I'm not going to be on your schedule. I'm not going to be under your pressure." He just kneels down and just starts drawing on the ground as though he didn't see them. That's what it says. And then he got up and he said, "Whoever's without sin, you throw the first stone." It says they all started to leave. The religious, one by one, just started to leave. It says because they were convicted. Because they all had sin in their life. These people that were acting so holy, "We've got to be harsh on the sinner." They all left. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy, their love for sin. He exposed it. And they all left because they were convicted of their own sin. And then Jesus said to the woman, where are your accusers?" And she said, there's none here. He said, "Neither do I accuse you." And then he said, "Go your way and sin no more." And the church wants to preach, "Sin no more, sin no more, sin no more, sin no more, sin no more." But they don't preach, neither do I condemn you. Which is grace. It's a revelation of forgiveness. It's a revelation of the total forgiveness of God. And that is the power to sin no more. And so we're whipping people up in the flesh. Sin no more, sin no more. We're not empowering them. We're just empowering their flesh. Okay, I've got to trot really hard to sin no more and live for God and do the right thing. It's just flesh. Doesn't please God, doesn't honor God. And it never works. In fact, you feel worse. You feel far from God. You feel like a failure. And then eventually it's just, this is too hard. I'm just going to run from God. I'm just going to give up. We just backslide and go off in the world and live for ourselves and just kind of justify it somehow. But actually, we're like, we tried living for God and it was too hard. Because we were in religion. God wants to set us free from religion. Bring us into grace. Bring us into Christ. Bring us into freedom and power. Amen. It's a revelation. Amen. It's a revelation. It's a revelation of the total forgiveness of God. And when you get the more established, the more free you get in that revelation, I tell you, it empowers you to go your way and sin no more. Amen. I tell you, you have to believe in future forgiveness. What a thing to say. God has already, the sins that I have yet to commit. Because I know I'm going to commit. You know you're going to do some things. Heaven forbid, God forbid, we don't want to. It's not our new nature. But sometimes we do. Okay? Sometimes I do. Sometimes you do. I know your secret. You know mine. Okay? You have to believe your future sins. I mean, sounds like quite a thing to say, even my future sins. The ones I haven't even committed, even those have been dealt with, they're gone. Bible says God has separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. Bible says that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us through Christ. In Christ, if you are in Christ, God is not counting your sins against us, against you. In fact, Hebrews 10 says he remembers our sins no more. And see, a lot of believers, they don't have any problem believing, well, yes, God's forgiven all my past sins. Yeah, all the ones that I confessed every single one from when I was in the womb, when I kicked my mum in the womb. And, you know, I had to forgive, I had to confess that one and get forgiveness. And then just when I was a baby, I had a tantrum and, you know, just all these things and all this self-conscious, we just had to confess. Like, you can't confess all the sins you've ever committed in your life. Amen? If your salvation was based on your confession, you're lost. You're lost for eternity. You can't even remember half the stuff you did. Hey? It's not about your confession. Okay, it is about your confession. Your confession is Christ. Amen. It's Christ. He did it. He did it for us. And I confess him. And I confess my need for him. And a lot of believers don't have any problem believing that our past sins are forgiven. But sometimes we have problem believing our future sins are forgiven. Yeah. You mean even the stuff I haven't committed, he's already forgiven that? Yeah. And even if I sin, he's not cutting me off. Just cutting me off. Just cut off. You sinned, that's it. You cut off from God. You mean to say even if I sin, he doesn't cut me off. I'm not separated from God. I'm not far from God. I'm not on my way to hell. Yes, absolutely. That's right. Even if you sin. Even as a born-again believer, even if you sin, you're not cut off from God. You're not separated from God. You're not on your way to hell. You're still one with Christ. You're still forgiven. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ooh, careful, Ryan. Careful, Ryan. Careful, Ryan. If you preach this stuff, people are just going to run out and sin. They're going to use it as a license to sin. Well, if you want to use that as a license to sin, I guess you could. But you can also use law and religion as a license to sin. I know God will forgive me. He's a good God. And, you know, if I sin, then all I got to do is just confess it, ask for forgiveness, and then I'm forgiven. That's a license to sin. You could use that as a license to sin. So, thinking that you have to get forgiveness for sin, or knowing that you've already been forgiven of sin before you sin, both are a license to sin. If you want to, if you're looking for a license. But I don't know about you. I'm not looking for a license. I'm not looking for a license to sin. Because I'm born again. Amen. Because I know God. And I know how destructive sin is. See, people say, Ryan, you don't preach enough on holiness. You should preach more on holiness, overcoming sin, being righteous, living. You don't preach enough on holiness. I say, what are you talking about? I preach the highest form of holiness. It's called walking in the Spirit. It's called walking in grace. Because the Bible says, those who walk in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Those who walk in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, that's just what happens. And so, but the church wants to preach the 50 steps on how to overcome the flesh. And the 3,000 secrets on how to subdue the flesh. And not walk in the flesh. And not live in the flesh. And not be overcome by the flesh. And the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. The flesh, 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 flesh. Sin, sin, sin. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, I'm so pathetic and useless. The Bible just says those who walk in the Spirit, they just won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And there's victory, there's power, there's freedom in the Spirit. Amen. And see, I'd have to be a total fool to preach a message that empowered people to sin. It just gave them a license to sin. Like, what fool preaches a license to sin? Amen. Like, what idiot? What idiot? And people accuse me, Ryan, this what you preach is a license to sin. I say, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know me. Probably 75% of what I say is talking about living from your new nature, living victorious, living triumphant. God has changed you. You're no longer a pauper and a beggar. You are a child of the King of Kings. You are living in the kingdom of God. You are royalty. He's taken out that old sinful nature, cut it out, removed it, circumcised, gone. He's given you a new nature, reborn spirit that's full of God. When you walk in the Spirit, you'll not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. You'll not get distracted by those things. You'll be consumed by God. Some people want me to be preaching a license to sin because then they can discredit my message. But I'd have to be an idiot to try to help believers sin. Oh, I just love this grace. I just love this grace because it just means I can run out and sin. Just sin, sin, sin. It's so good. I've been a pastor for many years, many, many years, and I've seen the destructive nature of sin. I've seen sin destroy people's lives. I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen it destroy children's lives. I've seen it destroy whole churches. Why would I preach a license to sin? Sin is destructive. Sin is distracting. It wants to distract us from God and from our walk with God and from our calling and our destiny, and wants to take us down some dead-end road of destruction and destroy our lives. That's what I preach. But what I preach is that we're not a slave to sin. We've been set free. You don't have to be a slave. I tell you, the Bible says the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. The more I've got a revelation of grace, the more established in grace, the more victory He's given me, the more triumph I'm walking in dominion. Amen? Freedom and dominion. And only in true grace can you get free. Because there is power, there is supernatural empowerment to set you free. Amen? So you have to believe in future forgiveness. Okay? And for some of you that don't, let me show you that you actually do. Okay? When did Jesus die? 2,000 years ago. When were you born? 2,000 years after Jesus died, right? So if Jesus only died for past sins, guess what? Everyone that was born after Jesus, they're in trouble. Jesus would have to keep dying again and again and again. But he only had to die once, because once was enough. The Bible says once and for all. The once for all sacrifice. It was enough to deal with all of sin from the start of time to the end of time. All placed on Jesus and dealt with in that moment on the cross. Jesus didn't just die for your past sins. He died for all your sins because you were in the future. All of your sins were in the future. And therefore, the cross had to include all of your sins. So guess what? All of your sins from the start of your life to the end of your life have already been dealt with in Christ. Amen. And when you came into Christ, you came into total forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness isn't by installments. Forgiveness is a once-off gift. You receive total forgiveness. Let me give you some scripture. I preached this once in a church, and they says, and someone challenged me. He said, "Where does it say that in the Bible?" I said, "Well, let me just show you. Hebrews 10, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. After Jesus had offered one sacrifice for sins, that's all of sins, forever, for all time. So Jesus offered one sacrifice for all of sins, for all of time. And after he did that, he sat down at the throne because that sacrifice was perfect and it was enough to deal with all of our sins from the start of our life to the end of our life. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Not convinced? Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, 13, it says, and you who were dead in your trespasses or your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses, all of our sins. So all of our sins. It says, having forgiven. What's that? Past tense. Having forgiven. Not has to forgive. Not has to keep forgiving. Not one day will forgive. But he has forgiven. Having forgiven us all of our sins. I'm sorry, but the Bible is on my side. Now, I'm not saying it's okay just to sin. Of course not. I hope I've qualified that enough. Now, if I sin as a born-again believer, what do? Do I just think, oh, that's cool. Nah, God doesn't see that. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. And you should feel bad. Okay? Because if you didn't feel bad, there's something wrong with you. It's called being psychotic. Okay? If I went and murdered someone and didn't feel bad, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll just go to sleep now. That's fine. I'm psychotic. Lock me up in jail. Throw away the key. Of course you should feel bad if you sin. Why? Because you're born of God. Your spirit doesn't want to sin. Your spirit wants to live for God. It's alive with God. It's made of the righteousness of God. And when your spirit says, sin is foreign to your spirit, to your new nature. And so sin should grieve us. If we could just live just by our spirit, we would walk in the perfect will of God. We would overcome sin, walk in total purity, be on fire for God every day. But our body and our mind get in the way. Amen? And so a lot of the time we're just living from the flesh and not from the spirit. And so we've got to offer our bodies a living sacrifice and renew our mind and walk in the Spirit. Amen? What was I saying just before that? I'm just going like all over the place. It's like machine gun. Bah, 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 just hitting stuff. Hitting stuff. Total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Thank you. You guys are preaching with me. You guys are preaching so well. Thank you. So what do I do if I sin? Yes, I feel bad. But you know what? I don't beg and scrape my way to God. I don't think, oh, I'm cut off from God. I'm far from God. I've got to claw my way back into his presence and just 3 days of heavy guilt and shame and penance. I've just got to slap myself. Just penance. God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, don't look at me. Don't look at me. A sinner. I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm a filthy sinner. Don't look at me, God. Honestly, God's going, what are you doing? If I sin, I feel grieved and I feel sorry for that sin. It's called godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow, worldly sorrow leads to death. But godly sorrow leads to changing the way we think about sin. And so if I sin, I'm like, oh God, I run straight to God. Not 3 days out and claw back. No, just straight into his presence. The way is open. No longer counting that sin, even that sin against me. So I can run boldly into his presence and say, God, I am sorry for that sin. I feel like an idiot for doing that. God says, you're not an idiot. Don't call yourself an idiot. He says, you're a beloved child. I love you. You are my precious son. You are my precious daughter. I am for you and not against you. I have separated your sins from the east, from the west. You're like, oh, thank you, God. Makes you fall in love with him. Makes you want to pour out your life at his feet. Amen. And then you just thank him. Thank you for grace. Thank you for total forgiveness. Thank you, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm starting to doubt. But thank you, God. I am. It's empowering. It's empowering. Amen. And so are you ready for a grace grenade?
Yes.
I have these things called grace grenades. I like to throw them out into your mind and like blow your mind. Because sometimes we need to have our mind blown. We need to have religious ways of thinking blown. Ways that we were brought up with, religion put on us, taught by religion. This stuff, flesh, religion, works, trying to earn God's love. We need to have that stuff blown out of our minds. Some of you grew up, God sees your sin. He sees every sin and he's just ready to judge you and cut you off. We just live thinking, oh, that's true. And sometimes you need a grace preacher to come with the word of God and with an anointing to throw a grace grenade into your mind and blast religion out of your mind. Blast religious thinking right out of your mind. Because Jesus said your traditions are nullifying the power of God. Religious traditions, religious thinking nullifies the power of God. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the power is in the truth. So here is grenade one. As a born-again believer, if you sin, to go and ask God for forgiveness is a sin. Now, before you get too shocked, because some people, it's just too much to handle. Okay? Think about this. If God has already forgiven you of all of your sins, and you go and you ask him for something that he's already given you, what's that? That's unbelief. You have unbelief in the finished work of Jesus. The Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. And so when you're asking him for something he's already given you, you're in unbelief. You haven't seen the finished work of Christ. Finish work of the cross. So you feel like you need to ask him to give you something he's already given you. You're in unbelief. And that's sin. So stop it. Stop it. Stop sinning, all right? It's freedom. God had to show me this. It took a few months because I was a bit doff. Like, I love that word. That's a South African word, right? I was born in South Africa. I lived here for 13 years. It's just nice to be back. It's actually really nice. It feels very normal, actually. I was a bit slow, a bit dwarf. And God had to show me this, a revelation. And God was bringing me into grace. And for a few months, I would sin, mess up, do something silly. And then I would run into God's presence. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I would hear the inward voice of God saying, I already have. I'd say, oh, God, no, please forgive me. I already have. I was like, you already have? It's like, yes, I already have. I did it 2,000 years ago at the cross. And when you came into Christ, you came into the fullness of forgiveness. When you received Jesus, you received the gift of full forgiveness. And then the next time I'd sin, mess up, run into God's presence. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. It's like, Ryan, I already have. I just hear him saying, I already have. I already have. I already have. And I started to get free. So I no longer ran into his presence asking him for something I already have. I'd run into his presence thanking him for forgiveness. Thanking him for his grace. Thanking him that I'm still righteous and still one with him. This is the glorious grace of God. And I tell you, over the years, he's just set me free, set me free, set me free. I tell you, I'm not trying to boast or brag, but I'm so thankful to God for the kind of victory he's brought into my life. Dominion over stuff that I used to struggle with. He's brought me into just incredible victory. So In some areas, I'm telling you, 100% victory over things. And that power did not come from works and religion, believing I need to, oh, I've got to get forgiven and scrape. It comes from knowing the truth of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. You like this? It's good, eh? It's just lekker, man. I smark it. Yeah, who gaan it met jou, man? My Afrikaans is terrible, all right? I'm sorry. I apologize for my Durban Afrikaans. my bru. Yeah. Lekker, my bru. Yeah, man. This is baie goed, man. Vreselijk lekker goed, hè. Did that even make sense? I don't know.
Stick to English.
Yeah, stick to English. Yeah. No more Afrikaans, please. God is good, hey? God is so good. Man, I could go on these other things. I could talk about the gift of righteousness and talk about the third thing is open access to God. We have total open access to God every moment of every day. And we've been created after His righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. We're not some foreign, strange form of righteousness. We are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't stand before God in our righteousness. There's only two kinds of righteousness, your righteousness and God's righteousness. It's like, whose righteousness do you want to stand in on the day of judgment? Not mine. God's. And when you receive Jesus, you receive His gift of righteousness. God's, and the Bible says that we, our new self, this new, the reborn spirit, this new self has been created after the righteousness of God, after the nature of God. We've been created after the nature of God in perfect righteousness and holiness. That is your new nature. That's your new person, your new identity. That's who you are. The righteousness of God, the holiness of God, that's who you are. But right, I don't live like that. Doesn't matter. That's not your identity. Your identity is the perfect righteousness of God. The more you see that, the more you ever have a revelation of that, then the more that you live, your condition will become like your position in Christ. Amen. Jesus became our sin that we could become the righteousness of God. Righteousness is not a reward you achieve. It's a gift you receive. And I was driving to a meeting once, going to preach this grace. And God reminded me of when I was a little boy, 8 or 9, in Joburg, South Africa. And with my family, and we were on the way to visit the mines. We went down some mine, went down into some mine. And then we came up and came out, and this group of people, and there's a few kids. I remember the person on the way out behind the counter, there was this huge big gold bullion of gold, big solid bullion of gold, and we were like, oh, wow. And the guy behind the counter, they said, if to the kids, if you guys can pick this up with one hand, you can have it. And we were like, yes, I'm rich. And we went to try and pick it up, and it was like, trying to pick it up, it was so heavy, we couldn't even pick it up. And when I was driving to this meeting to preach, God reminded me of that story and of that gold. And He said, Ryan, that gold, that's you. That's your righteousness. That's your reborn spirit. It's solid gold. Solid gold, the righteousness of God. And then he showed me a picture. He said, Ryan, you could take that gold, that solid gold, and you could drop it in the mud. And it could get covered with mud. And you could pick that gold up, put it on the table, have some special tool to cut it in half, and look inside of it, and you'd still see solid gold. He said, that's you, Ryan. That's your righteousness. He said, you can stumble and fall in the mud and get some dirt on you, get some dirt of this world on you. But guess what? On the inside of you, you are still solid gold. You are still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I tell you, that truth sets you free, blows your mind. But it empowers you. It empowers you to live for God. And since coming into this revelation, I tell you, I've fallen in love with Jesus. I'm so madly in love with Jesus. I've surrendered my life to Him. I give my life to Him. I'll do anything He wants me to do. I'll go anywhere in the world. Say what He wants me to say. Do what He wants me to do. I am His. Grace is empowering me. Grace is not making me want to run and just, you know, all that. Grace just wants me to draw, makes me want to draw near to Him. Because of the grace of God, I'm in love with my wife. I love my wife. She's my best friend. And I'm not trying to hold her to some impossible standard and using the law to judge her. And she's always falling short of my standard. No, grace. Grace, thank God, God didn't do that with me. He gave me grace, even when I didn't deserve it. And grace changes us as husbands, changes us as wives. It causes us to take off this impossible standard of our wife and to see the gold inside of them and to bring that gold out and to love them with the love of God, the unconditional love of God, and to see who they are, who God created them to be, to rise up and to be empowered, become this mighty woman of God. Grace has enabled me to love my children. I'm not putting some impossible standard on my children. No, I'm trying to see who God created them to be, and I'm trying to nurture that and bring it out of them and point them to Jesus. And I'm a faithful father. I'm a faithful husband. I'm a faithful child of God. So don't accuse me. Don't say that this message, this grace that I'm preaching, is some pathetic, useless, terrible license to sin. Don't you dare say that. This grace of God has changed my life. It's the only gospel. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love it. And maybe you don't understand it yet. Maybe you've heard different. I want to say, don't just write it off. Yes, maybe there were some Christians that just went and lived in adultery and said it was okay. And they said, oh, the grace of God. Don't just think, oh, that's just everyone that says grace, you know, they just, that's what they're saying, or that's how they live. No, I want to say, that's not true grace. That's pseudo grace. That's false grace. Yeah. True grace of God causes us to come overcome sin and get victory and begin to walk in dominion. And yes, we might stumble and fall on our way to victory and dominion. And yes, there is grace. Thank God for it. But we don't just think, ah, oh, praise God, I just live however I want. No, that's not true grace. True grace is empowering. Amen. I think you guys get my point. Amen. You get what I'm saying. Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet? Hey, this is Ryan Rufus from New Nature Ministries, and I just want to encourage you that if you're enjoying New Nature Ministries and being fed and being blessed, would you consider making a financial donation or even possibly partnering with us on a monthly basis? We just absolutely value and appreciate any financial amount that you give. We appreciate your partnership. And it's just a wonderful thing to have other people standing with us in this gospel. We're not going to charge for the gospel. We're going to just take it to the nations. And God is our source and our provider. But we just want to give you the opportunity as well to stand with us financially. No pressure. This is up to you. Just if it's resonating with your heart, we just want to give you that opportunity. And so you can go to our website, newnatureministries.org, and look on the partner give page. It's got all the information on there. I just want to say thank you for considering standing with us financially. And I just pray God's blessings be multiplied to you. In Jesus' name, God bless.